Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 12th of November, recording at 7:40 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Well, slightly fatigued, having completed the chart seminar over the last 2 days, and that was followed by more talking this afternoon with a nice, relaxing sort of little cocktail reception. With delegates, but I'm almost talked out, but not quite. I've got room for this remaining audio, this big picture, long term outlook. But I'll just say what a mind expanding experience it was for me to have this long analytical workshop discussion with delegates, who really the collective wisdom of my subscribers is phenomenal. I mean, people with years and years of experience in both trading and investing in various different, all the different markets, and that was one productive, exciting forum. I'll pass on a few of the points related to the topic here tonight. But first, global stock markets. What stands out so clearly is that my script, fortunately for the fourth quarter, saying get the oil price down down a bit so that it was no longer a worry, get past the election, particularly if Bush was in, that the markets would like that. I see that really reflected all over the place. And one of my points that I've made before, that I expressed slightly differently in the seminar, is that I really regard Wall Street never as a leader. It's the biggest market, so therefore it's the most influential stock market. But Wall Street really holds the leash, as it were. And when Wall Street is ranging, let alone firm, then that creates an environment in which in fashion markets such as Australia, New Zealand, among developed markets, emerging markets, some of the better performing European markets like Ireland, Spain, Italy, Austria particularly, can take off. And when Wall Street, in contrast, when Wall Street is weak, then the leash shortens and other markets are generally able to do less well. And if Wall Street falls very sharply, then they almost all become reined in. You can expect them all to become reined in and to fall, and they may even fall more in terms of the fact that, or because they have a higher beta than the U.S. market. Now, you know my view that Wall Street is in a secular bear market that I've always defined as a generational long period of P/E ratio contraction. Whether that secular bear market resembles Japan post 1989, let alone Wall Street 1929, or whether it resembles something far more benign, such as the secular bear market on Wall Street from, say, 1967 through 1982, when the next secular bull market began, the key variable there is liquidity. And if liquidity is tight, as it was for too long after that 1929 crash, or for too long after that bubble burst in Japan, then you're going to see a lot more damage in terms of absolute downside move in the major market indices. If liquidity is abundant, then you will see that secular bear market be characterized largely by a sideways trading range in which we get medium term, as in several months, 6 to 9 months for the most part, moves on the upside, somewhat shorter and often steeper declines, shorter duration but often steeper declines on the downside, of shorter duration generally because markets usually fall faster than they rise in terms of medium term trends. And it becomes much more of an intermediate term trading environment rather than get out and stay out type of environment. Now, liquidity is super abundant, and it's super abundant because central banks have been fearing the disinflationary environment, deflationary pressures, particularly in manufacturing. And the last thing they wanted to see was a Japan-style deflationary environment overall. Now, to check out that super abundant liquidity, I again refer you to the wonderful Bank Credit Analyst chart, which is posted in comment of the day for last Friday, exactly a week ago. It's a hugely relevant chart. Now, when that global liquidity starts to contract, then we really will be in injury time for a lot of these markets that are doing so well today. But we don't have to worry about that right now. Let's enjoy this excellent medium-term rally in stock markets, which keeps reaffirming itself. I had described at the beginning of the week markets being in a little bit of a consolidation phase, but I didn't look for much downside during that pause. Well, the Western markets have seen a minimal pause. They just sort of hovered there for a few days, and a number of them are reaching new highs today, and not least the Standard & Poor's 500 index. So that just keeps lots of slack in the leash for other markets around the world, many of which are doing exceptionally well. There were a number of new highs ranging across the developed markets, and also and particularly in some of the developing markets. One of my favorites, India, a little pause up here near the near the 6,000 level. That's not all that surprising. Here, a little bit of a roundophobia number. Is it 6,000 or 600? Let me just check it. I'll just put that up on the screen and check it out. And if I get the typing right, apologies for that delay, but I don't want to get it wrong. 6,000, it is 6,000. So a little bit of psychological resistance, former highs, but this has done awfully well, and there's no downward dynamic. And this is my favorite long-term market, as you know. So I continue to like this environment. I'm just putting up one of my other indices on Bloomberg right now just to see it again. One of the ones that's that I markets that I like a lot that has been underperforming recently because of that unrest is Thailand, where we had the problem with Muslim insurrection in that southern part of the country. And my feeling is that Thailand, which had a pretty firm day here today, small upward dynamic, closed at 6:39. My feeling is it'd be 100 points higher right now if it hadn't been for that problem in the south of Thailand. And I regard that as a temporary influence, and I think it's already priced in, and that this market looks cheap relative to a number of the others. Malaysia also, an interesting pattern, was closed today but looks firm. And I noticed that Malaysian fund has bounced back to a premium, had a very strong couple of days in here. So really, you can be almost anywhere in these markets. Japan, a good day on the upside. That's been very much of a laggard, was hit yesterday, but strong here today, wiping out that decline and a bit more. Second section index in Japan pushing up. So I think all you need to do is to have a presence really in this market environment. Also, new highs. The Nasdaq, not quite a new high today. Well, the market's not closed yet, but certainly testing the year's highs. So you see, we've got a very powerful market environment here right now, and let's enjoy that because we're very much on course here for a strong fourth quarter. I don't see what's going to interrupt this yet. I don't think that the interest rate fears are going to build up all that rapidly in terms of central banks raising short-term rates. I think we can be relatively relaxed about that. Not a big threat. The oil price is a benign influence here right now because that has been retreating, and if that continues to retreat, that'll be even better for global stock markets. So it would take some sort of exogenous shock that I'm not going to forecast to interrupt this move. Meanwhile, the downside risk remains the possibility of, in my view, of small consolidations along the way, but it's mostly to go for on the upside. And this rally, as I've said before, may carry well into the first quarter of the year, and then we're going to be getting into injury time. Now, of course, maybe I'm too optimistic. That's my best case scenario, that it runs well into the first quarter. One of the things that came out in the seminar as I was watching and talking at this, and something that's been in my mind, is that when it comes to a downward turn, the next downward turn, it won't be Wall Street that shows that risk first, in all probability. It will be it will be some of the leading emerging markets today when they lose their form, and it will also, among developed markets, and I think this could be quite important, will be some of the theme markets that have been doing very well recently, such as New Zealand and Australia. Now, New Zealand's had a spectacular rise, but it still remains orderly. I think I'll put those charts up and do a little piece on this next week. And Australia is now accelerating. Now, that is an ending characteristic, as I teach at the chart seminar, but we don't, because it's unsustainable beyond the short, or at most the medium term. So, really, I would feel that some of the alarm bells were beginning to ring, or I will feel that some of the warning signals are beginning to flash when Australia next shows a clear downward dynamic and loses its current very consistent form on the charts. The leaders so often lead in both directions, something I've stressed for decades in my talks, and it's something that's helped me enormously in terms of analysis. Find the cycle's leaders, monitor them very, very closely. They lead in both directions and give you a little bit of a preview of the future for some of the lagging markets. Works far more often than not. But today, as I say, let's enjoy it. And the commodity sectors are certainly performing. I noticed today that the Gold Bugs Index, which I was slightly concerned, it hadn't confirmed the break to a new high for the year that gold bullion has seen. Well, today the Gold Bugs Index broke to a new high for the year. That's the Philadelphia Gold Bugs Index of unhedged gold mines. And so the shares are participating. If the shares were failing to confirm the upside break, let alone fell away on the downside, I would be worried. Now, what else here? Bonds, U.S. bonds, had quite a strong bounce today. I'm not quite sure why. They're currently up 28.30 seconds. That's and they have been up over a full point at one stage. So I'm experiencing a little bit of profit erosion there. The JGBs are slightly softer. Today, but I'm not sure why those bonds went up. But I regard the bonds as being in an overall extended top building phase. I think we have commenced a secular bear market in global bonds following those 18 strong years on the upside, a 18-year secular bull market that ended in June 2003. Now, the relative strength standouts on the upside in bonds are the Eurobunds and the gilts right now, because growth is not that strong, particularly in Euroland, and the deflationary pressures are building up because of the Euro's overall strength. So if you were, had to be long any government bond market, it would have to be, in my view, the euro bunds and perhaps the gilts, but the euro bunds I think would be the best. I choose not to be long because we don't have commonality in terms of them all moving in the same pattern with more or less equal strength. The treasuries look to me very much as if they've topped out here following a good technical rally within their overall top, and the JGBs have lost upside momentum, and they look vulnerable to me. So I'm more interested in playing these bonds on the downside, but it'll probably be a stealth bear market, and it could be a stealth bear market for a number of years. In other words, barely perceptible. Most people won't realize and characterize much more by ranging than price falls or rising yields. It could be that way for several years, in which case there will be less potential. But bear in mind that debt is piling up, and all this liquidity sloshing around. U.S. is printing a great deal of money, and as I've said before, if they need to borrow so much, ditto in Japan. Do we really want to be buying and owning those bonds? No, I want to be short. And discussing in the seminar today, we were talking about, I think it was back in 1982 when the US Treasury bonds yielded over 16% on the long bonds. Well, what are they today? I think around 4.75, something like that. So again, this is a market that's very vulnerable over the long term, where I will be shorting the rallies on a baby step basis, and you can look up my baby step tactics papers if you want to study what that means. New subscribers are coming in all the time. You'll find that in the subscribers forum. Now, moving on, in terms of currencies today, we had a little bit of jawboning coming from the Bank of Japan. I haven't picked up anything coming from Euroland today, which surprises me a little bit. But that's maybe why the euro has been so firm in here today, and it's currently up 76 ticks back at 129.82, so it is pretty much holding the upper side of this range. I think it would be running strongly on the upside if it weren't for all the jawboning that we've seen from European politicians calling for intervention and various different ECB members. Apparently, I think Goldman Sachs, some currency strategist at Goldman Sachs, came out today and said that the US wasn't going to do anything to stop the decline in its currency. Now, that may prompt some sort of denial on Monday. We need to watch out for that a little bit. That's not impossible. And it may cause some indignation on the part of European officials. So that wouldn't surprise me at all, and that could knock the euro back a little bit. But the basic point here is that currencies are breaking out on the upside against the dollar, or the US dollar continues to break down against other currencies. It is still in a rather mature bear market decline. Now, we don't get once-a-generation trends in the currency markets, and we're sort of in the third year here of a dollar decline, and these currency trends tend to run sort of 3 to 5 years, so this is not a that long a one by those standards. Occasionally they'll get up to 6 or 7 years. A lot of people at the seminar, very experienced people, were worrying about the fact that everybody's so bearish of the dollar. And I posted a item from one of my subscribers on the website talking about large positions, large short positions. So that's a bit of a concern in here, but really I want to give dollar weakness the benefit of the doubt until I see a clear dynamic in the opposite direction. And that hasn't occurred yet, needless to say. Now, the so I'd back this, say, this mature dollar bear market carrying further, and that's what all the charts say. Now, other currencies, the yen is not a strong currency right now. Sterling is not that strong a currency right now. I would expect them to appreciate against the dollar as sterling is today, 185.83. Maybe this can get up and test 200. That wouldn't surprise me all that much. But in terms of my own tactics, I try to marry up the weakest currency with the strongest currency. And the weakest currency right now is the US dollar. The strongest currency right now is the Australian dollar. And that's my biggest speculative position. That, when I last looked at it a few minutes ago, was at 76.94. 76.94. So it's broken up out of the last little step in a very consistent trend. A consistent trend is a trend in motion. Therefore, I have moved up my stop so that all my positions are now protected within the money, in the money stops. What am I looking for? It's nearly at 77. 80 is a nice round number. It was also the previous high, I think, that we saw back in February. And I'm looking for a test at 80 where it may run into a little bit of flak, as the New Zealand dollar did, which had been until recently even stronger than the Aussie. New Zealand dollar got back to its, I think its February high, or thereabouts, and then saw a downward reaction, which would have triggered a number of stops. Now it's firmed up again and looks like it's going to have another go at that high. But my favorite combination, as I say, that Australian US dollar play, and that has a nice attractive interest rate differential as well, which is always important to me. I like to have the trend on my side and the interest rate differentials on my side. And then you've got the glamour theme of commodity markets. So moving on to commodities, we've got oil about unchanged here today, 47.45 on the just drop down settlement price here, 47.32. And natural gas a little bit softer in here again today. That's been good for stock markets. metals are interesting. All of the metals were on the upside except for that slightly perverse tin, which this I've noticed this before and commented on it, that the metals will be generally firm. Tin will wind up with a small loss. It's only down $40 to 9,100, so hardly significant. Still very much in a tight range. The others are strong. Gold, 437.85, touched another new high, been up as high as 438.90, 96, maintaining the breakout. Palladium, that's the sleeper, up $5, 221.15, that's the price. One of the reasons palladium did well, big upward move in platinum in here today, up nearly $20 to 874.2. It's the strength in the other metals. Well, let me get rounded out here. Silver up a 14.5 to 762.2. So really very, very strong moves here. And the one that's most important for a palladium is platinum. The higher platinum goes, the more of a dead cert it becomes that palladium will suddenly get an explosive catch-up move. And meanwhile, it's still within its base formation, but that's one that I own as well. And looking quite interesting. Now, in the industrial metals, the other industrial metals, all other than tin, did quite well in here today. And I'm looking at lead, where I've which has done extremely well for me, and I hope some of you have it. That was up 14, closed at 9.54. I've got an in-the-money stop on that, and it hasn't been threatened, fortunately. nickel looks good on the charts. Big contract because it's trading at 14,700, but that's up $750 today. So it looks very firm on the charts. You know, I've talked about some of these services. I think Credit Suisse was one of them, telling people to short commodities. Lots of people have been saying short commodities. Did Mark Faber do that? I don't want to misrepresent anyone in this, but I thought he might have in one of the comments that I actually saw, saying short the metals. I don't see it in the charts. I'm long metals, they're moving up. As long as the charts are good, I'll stay with them. And the fact that people have been saying, advising others to short them, creates the scope for bear squeezes, and we're probably seeing that in here now. Copper, New York Copper, up 220 in here today. That's good. They're all firm. Softs. The softs are stirring. I've described them as being dirt cheap. Soybeans, up 5.25 today. Corn, dirt cheap, back at the $2 level, up 2.75 in here today. They're all a bit firmer. Oats had a small upward dynamic in here today, and oats has often been a leader recently in these grains. These are still cheap, they're still sleepers. They may not move significantly for months, but I like to do a little nibbling in some of these bargain basement categories. I certainly wouldn't establish big positions until we have much clearer evidence that they are in a bottoming out process. But these declines have lost downward momentum. The next big move is on the upside in my view. And I continue to look for quick wrap up. In terms of stock markets, great medium term rally going on. Enjoy it before we have to worry about Wall Street's secular bear market. We'll probably have to worry about that late in the first quarter or some point in the second quarter of next year. But that's still my best case scenario. Look for selling opportunities in this topping out process of long-dated government bonds, concentrating on the U.S. Treasuries and on the JGBs. But that doesn't have the same potential in the short term as the stock market rally has on the upside. Did I mention Japan? Yes, I did. Had a good bounce in here today. In terms of the currencies, I would play this dollar weakness as I am. I do not expect a collapse of the dollar there. I don't think that we'd have the conditions for a collapse in the dollar. Nobody's going to pull the plug on the dollar because that would be such an old own goal, to use that sporting expression. But I do not see any evidence that the dollar's bear trend is over, and nor do I see any near-term possibility that the dollar's bear trend will end. If charts start to look different, I'll reassess, but the charts are looking consistent here right now. Metals, industrial commodities, major secular bull market. One of them is in a major corrective phase right now, or medium-term corrective phase, don't want to exaggerate it, and that's oil, the whole energy sector in terms of the fossil fuels in a current corrective phase. But within a secular bull market, metals had been in a corrective phase. They're firming here once again, led this time by gold bullion. Have a wonderful weekend.